the typical only housing to a mixed use. And fourth topic, Lady Ambregati will present you the site so that you can sleep already knowing what is going to be the site. And tomorrow morning you will start to operate and I will be with you for the beginning part of the day, and then you will be only Lady Ambregati, okay? This is the structure. So why I am interested in this, let's see if they will project. Okay, good. Okay. Who's this project? Fauci, explain to me for what reason, what is the reason that you created this gap?
No,
okay, so okay, fine. Okay, let's focus on this. Who makes this? Posh again. It is clearly okay that there must be a reason, an outside reason of some type that we don't know, but it is clearly the project, it is based on a big difference between a contraction and an expansion, right? They are one opposite of the other. So probably there are some reasons why you do that. Could be probably that the site is already like this on the outside, or there are some reasons, some good reason to do this. Otherwise, we don't know why we do it. But surely, there could be a reason to do that. This is Bosch again?
Yes.
This is a completely different structure. We take it for granted that are attached, right? Because that makes sense. No, it's clear that it's attached. But that is, this is a completely different structure, right? It is an inside, kind of an inside serpentinian street, and an outside that is more informal in a way. Right? So, three solutions, very different. There should be reasons to do that. It depends. Now let's see. All right. This is interesting in a way because it's a combination of a street with subcluster. You know, you see this is like a little piazza there, but it's a kind of a little piazza, a little cluster that is created along one street. Right? Or some type that is inside. This is another type of organization, kind of inner street and things like there, which is particularly interesting in this person is, who is this? Is this kind of L type organization in the cluster. This is really a very interesting thing that, of course, it was moving like that to do that. You start probably to think that in order to do this in a very efficient way, the unit has to be organized in a way to allow that. Must be some type of unit design that will allow this configuration. And this configuration can be really effective as urban, because if you can create clusters, you are not, so you can rotate. Same thing. No, we're going, we see this one already? Come on, down, no? Where is the pictures of your fiancé, Poshi? Your girlfriend? Where, we are running to it? In which direction? At a certain moment, no. I'm kidding, yeah. We don't run into any private thing, you know? Okay. This is the last one. So, in order to understand a little bit better what's going on here, we need to have another issue that is very important. It is a very important issue that we cannot avoid
to consider. Now you take notes and you write the thing that I'm going to say for sure, because they're very important, otherwise you don't end up having all of this. Alright. What is the keyword? In order to understand what's going on here, we must inject in all this thinking another word, very important word. The word it is territoriality. It's a very important word when you do things like that. Very important thing. So the issue of territoriality is very important. Let's look at this. What does it mean territoriality in the area of this kind of low-life identity type of architecture? Means that I didn't call you to read your mouth, okay. That what we think as a common surface is not like that. There are parts of the space that are different, that belong to different territoriality. Let's look at it, okay? For example, what does it mean that you have a different territoriality here? That will be, for example, that there is an outside. Vieni un po' qua, lei, andiamo la mano. There is an outside, because otherwise we have to reset the phone. There is an outside, and generally the outside, what belongs to the sphere of the city, we call it public space. Write down these things. And that means that the public space, by definition, is where all the citizens can go with basically no control, or with the control of the law of a specific state. Right? So when you are in the public space, it's the public space that belongs, in this case, to Albania, and you are subject to the law of Albania. So you can do certain things, you cannot do other things, there is the police that controls, if somebody that cleans, etc. Right? So here, if we can look at this scheme as in terms of public space, you can say, all right, the public space here, it is kind of soft-defined by these edges, right, because it's the outside, and partially penetrate a little bit inside, partially, we don't know. Let's see somebody that has a very strong definition of the edge between the private and public, for example, just to look at here. Okay, so for example, here it is much clearer, you know, there is down, there is a public probably outside, there's something different inside. Now, this thing inside, okay, look at this. This thing inside, it is clearly something different, it's not a public space. It's something different. Why is not a public space? Because it's defined by the building themselves. And the building themselves has created that. So, by definition, we call that collective space. We can call it Carlo and Posh, that's a manga, a convention. But if we don't understand the convention, we get mad. So, the collective space, in our terminology, becomes very different from the public space. If you make a confusion of the two words, everything think is useless. You must understand very well the difference. Okay? So the collective space, by definition, is created, are open spaces where basically everybody can go, but are defined by the configuration of the project. And who controls is the key question. Who controls the space? In this case, the space is controlled by the inhabitants of that project. Right? While the outside public space is controlled by the city or the state. So the issue here is not that you can go or you cannot go, because that is another issue. It's just that the real issue is how it is formed and who's controlling it. So in this case, we can imagine that there is an outside public space, and surely it is what we may call a collective space, because it's formed by the building themselves. Okay, now let's imagine to look at a little bit this one, okay? For example, or something similar. Now, give me other two. Okay, for example here. Okay? Put the table. The scotch. A little bit of this scheme. Okay? Now, we can interpret this scheme quite easily from the definition that we said. Alright, then probably this project wants to make another strong edge towards the public space, right? And if we look at the inside, we think, probably this is what they want to do as a collective space, but then you realize that there is another level. There are two other small spaces that we may call semi-collective space. Why semi-collective? Because probably if you look at it as a whole, this would be kind of the major collective space. But then there are niches, this one and this one, that we may call semi-collective. Because are created by a subgroup. And we don't know exactly how the project is going to be organized. You know, basically to make it clearer, we could say, let's imagine that it is like that. That it goes here, imagine that it is like that, it would be simpler to understand. If it is something like that, we may say that, okay, we understand clearly what is the public. On the outside, we can say that this larger axis is the collective, and those two maps are the semi-collective. The important thing is that we have we understand the terminology, public, collective, and semi-collective. So the semi-collective, again, who controls it? Is always a very important thing. And it is clearly that the semi-collective space is controlled by the subgroup. Right? Controls is a very interesting word in this type of problem. See, the right word is really control. Not to go. It's really who controls. It's very important. To define to have the key to understand the different things. Yes. Is the people that live there, exactly. That is, so when we look at, now these are categories that are important, and now we see the problem. Yes. Okay, good. So, from what we may... So, this was useful.
Thank you very much.
Oshi was very useful. Okay. So, we were able to leave. Now,
okay, now let's go and discuss the most important project. We are really going at the center of what we are doing, okay? And you understand how many implications there are in this, I think. Okay. Okay. So in a way, if you want to describe, if you look at this, you can say that the building as a whole, it creates a hard edge to the public space, right? Creates a hard edge. But then it is articulated in the little niches, you know, basically that we may call semi-collective. Why we call semi-collective? Because they are defined by a subgroup, right? And then if you ask who's controlled that, it is clearly there are these two families that in some way control this. In this case, it's almost at the level of a building, but it's the same principle as we are going to see now. There is one thing that none of you have done. Now I'll show you this. What is this? It's exactly the same exercise that you have done. Exactly the same. It's exactly the same thing. So, when you look at this, we have another idea that nobody had so far. Nobody understood that there is one element that is very important that we didn't mention and none of you have done to arrive to this type of architecture. What is that missing element as a methodological point of view? Is clear the question? Posh is clear the question. It is clear the question. It is, eh? If it is clear the question, try to answer. What is the missing element? There is one missing element. No. From a methodological point of view. Eh? That is an important variation, but it's not a methodological element.
The
eh?
The
yeah, that will be very, very important. That will be very important, but I'm talking of a methodology. I'm talking of a methodology. What I told you... Eh? They are not exactly so independent as you may think. That is the idea. And what is, look, please try to be concentrated because this is a key point. They are not so independent as you may think. And the concept of territoriality that we just described, it is interwoven with the other one. They are in some way together. What is the missing element in order to do that? Eh? Yeah? Urbanity.
The public space.
I'm talking from a methodological point of view. I gave you this, and then we had the unit, right? There is something missing.
On the page.
There is something from a methodological point of view that is missing between these two. What is missing?
The grid.
Who said the grid? Bravo! It's the grid that is. That's why you came out with those absurd some of yours. Probably. Because it's exactly in the grid. This is the intermediate element that is missing between the two. You don't do it that way. You have the space is not an empty space. It is something like in some way, it is like there is something there. No, it could be, I don't know. But there is something there. This is not an empty space. It's conceptually an occupied space. Now, who said that the grid has to be like that? Nobody said. You can have a grid. Right? You can organize. And there could be reasons why to do that. Relationship with the context, with the sound, with that and that. But the key problem, it is clear in the drawings, is that in some way, everything is built. That is the idea. Everything is built within a grid. Although with different means. So, some parts are the unit. Some parts are soft edges, and gardens, or fading things, etc. But everything is coordinated together. Either it is built or it's not built. So the grid, which is exactly the missing point, as your colleague found, and finally wake up after 2 days, he wake up with the grid, and then it changed, he became an active member. Right? So we believe in this other part of the exercise. So the grid is very important, and the grid conceptually is the idea that everything it is built, although with different means. And the other key aspect is that the grid is, of course, related with a lot of things. And surely, for example, with territoriality. Absolutely. In other cases, with other things. So, if we look at this drawing, which is just an application of your case, now, look, let's look at it a little bit better, okay? Because we can... Okay. So now we start to understand lots of things. First thing that we can understand is exactly that idea that in this particular case, probably there is some collective space at the scale of the whole project, which a little bit larger. Space and a little bit larger events, right? I don't know if this is a little pool or whatever, but it's clearly more important in some way, right? And then from here there are little alleys and then there are clusters. So these clusters are exactly the smaller semi-collective spaces that are in different configuration. This is really clear from the thing. The other thing that we understand it is that clearly there is that idea of territoriality,
And clearly we understand, exactly as we've seen with the little plants in the plant bed there, that the garden are a large part of the complex, and again are private space, but they contribute to the quality of the environment because are privately maintained, but are important element in this. And then we understand the techniques again, that in order to you see when we were playing with the thing on the blackboard, how it is important that thing can turn. Because in the moment that the thing can turn, in this case like this, and then they turn here, and then they turn here, then create the cluster. And that's why we selected an area that is kind of square, that will allow that. That's why I wanted to have that area. Okay? Well, basically, we don't know exactly what is the outside. We understand that the public space is over there, it's outside. Inside here, we may think that these are all collective space, because it's very defined by the building themselves. So, this seems what it is, the situation. If you look here, this is a very interesting other case, because what is showing are the variation of a rather similar typology of units. And if you wake up, you will have to. Otherwise, no. Okay. So you see different configurations, for example. No? In some cases, are like in a row, just a row. In some cases is a kind of more open cluster that is happening there, and here is more formal, right? So look, for example, this is the more formal. So what we see here basically is very strong outside edge, so it's facing the public space in a very strong way, and then there is a kind of formal, unique collective space there, and the mediation are the garden that in my terminology, since they are private but they are open to the public view, I call it semi-private space, because are private in the way they are maintained, but they are collective in the way that are perceived. That's why I call it semi-private or transitional space. It depends. Okay? And look here. This one is a completely different organization. While in this case was formally organized with an interior collective space, this one Okay. So instead of this one, it is done, you enter the complex basically from this little thing, then you have a first, we can call semi-collective, right? Then another one, and then another semi-collective. And if anything, we may define the collective space is only the garage. And not the garage, yes, the parking space. So it's another completely different organization. Very formal on a collective, only two semi-collective. Another system. In this case it's with the row. And what is often, look at this technique that is very interesting. In many cases, the units are really attached in the back. Look at this. There is not a path there. No? Because they can be entered from that, or either from this side or from that side. And then what you may call it kind of collective in this case is this part over here. You understand why to have this material is very important, because all this material is on the web, is exactly the same. So you can go there and restudy. That's the whole idea. And actually already the The audio, even of this morning, is already on the web. I put it during lunchtime. Okay. So these are some concepts. So now we are ready to understand this project, which is the most important and complex project that it was done in Society Hill by Sauer. And basically, we discussed several times about this. I always passed very fast in front of this because I really didn't want that you get distracted before the right moment, which is now, that you have enough element to understand what's going on here. This is the area that is just below the tower. So are kind of very important strategically. Because we are talking of this. We are talking of an entire city block that has to be done in low-rise identity. So this is kind of the champion in the world of low-rise identity housing. So this is the probably the best low-rise identity project, or among the best, okay? So it's a really very clear example how you can reach a certain level of quality, of density, etc., etc. That's why we keep at this point, because you understand the complexity that is related to it. Okay. So this is extremely valuable from many points of view. First of all, from the monetary point of view, is a land that is very precious, very, very precious. In order to make the project feasible in the marketplace, as we said, you must be really very, very good. The other thing that it is clearly evident, this site has major differences. So there are some part of it that can be seen almost 1 kilometer of distance, because you see it from the other side of the river. So in some way, this project, again, must be able to say something at the city scale and be able to create a dialogue, again, with the tower. Very difficult job, very difficult job. On the other side, because it's a block, it has a very minimal residential scale on the other side. So that is very complex from an architectural point of view. Here we see it. Now, he made 4 or 5 designs on this project before arriving to the final solution. And that was, these 5 or 6 projects are illustrated only, that I tell you this for later, only in my dissertation. Because I was very, very specific, not on this, very specific on low-rise identity as general strategy. But in one part I went very, very deep on this to understand all the process. So I just don't show you all the process, but it started a little bit like you. Some of these scheme like this with the kind of not clear idea. The first idea was almost to do a suburban type of residence. Almost, you know. Then he slowly realized, also in the relationship with the developer, that was not feasible from an economical point of view. You have to put a lot of units. So the whole idea was how to increase density, how have the territoriality, that was an important issue, how to address the city, but at the same time, how you can create an environment that can attract people that used to have garden and amenities in the outside of the city, but bring them back in the inner city. How you do all this? And how you do it for real is the story of the project. So among the different ones, we can see this, just this project. Previous iteration of the project. If we look at this, we understand one first thing. How does he want to address, in this particular case, the public space? What is the attitude through which the public space is addressed? Ermir. Qual è Ermir? No. Giorgi. That means that you are always distracted when I speak. You don't have to be distracted.
So I think that the public space is on the edge of it.
Exactly. And how it is, if you have to look in 1 second, the difference between the public and the, what adjective you will put to the public space. Is it on the outside and?
A certain collective space inside.
Is collective space inside. So the
difference.
Inside, fine. So, but if you look with more attention the public space, what you will notice, the way that the architecture addresses the public
that
space.
The public space, you have to access directly on the
there are very small openings. The public space is very, what is it? Close, protective. It's protective. So the way that the architecture decided to make is kind of creating almost a block-like perimeter to protect the inside space. And so, to create what? Going to the old lecture, the other day, that seems 1 century ago, creating a very important difference between inside and outside. Here is the concept that comes again. So, a big difference between inside and outside that he motivated so many actions of his way of thinking, here organize an issue of territoriality that is very important in this particular case. Because if we look, this, we understand that it's completely different. It's completely, exactly the opposite. It is open to the country. It kind of flows in the country. Exactly the opposite attitude that we see in here, right? Everything depends. That is the interesting thing of architecture. Everything depends. You don't have a unique rule. It depends. So, in this case, the choice has been to create a strong edge with very little part of and controlled. We can see probably 1, 2, well, I don't know that, probably 3, we are not, very few, 3 or 4. Then the other thing that we see, so we see a strong edge. Then we see, is there a collective space that is clearly can be defined as a collective space? Leiji, Alimani. No, I'm talking of collective space. Is there any space that we can clearly connect as a collective space? Which one? Come, show me. Show me what it could be a collective space. Non abbiamo un laser, no? One of those Chinese lasers. Ah, yes, great. Here. And which one is that? Yes, clearly. That is collective space. Because basically belongs to the whole thing. So it is clearly the larger piazza. And then are there, we can see cluster semi-collective spaces. Yes, let's show me some. One, two, three, exactly. So, exactly, perfect. It's what I wanted. Yeah, so this is a clear example of this organization. Now, there is a basic trick that allow to do this. This is possible to do it in this particular way. We found it?
No.
There is one trick. You understand the word trick? One trick that allow this thing to be done, and particularly to rotate the corners of the U. What is the trick? Look at it. There is, I cannot say more than this. There is one trick that allows me. I want a person that to say that, like we did before, that got the first prize of that. It's one word, but you must understand what it is. There is one trick that allows the unit scale, let's say, to do this. What is the key word? Not grid already. It's another one, unfortunately. The money now we already played.
What allows exactly? Exactly allows
this type of configuration and basically the whole variation of cluster, semi-cluster is the thing that allows that.
The
L shape. Is the L shape. This is the key word. The A is exactly the L shape, is the exact answer that I wanted, like this before. Is the simple thing, very important trick, you have to know. Fantastico. Oh my God! So, is exactly that. Because I will understand, I will show you why. Because if I do follow this, because the L shape is the key to do low-rise identity architecture. If I do this, how many possibilities of light I have? Are 1, 2, 3, and 4. Right? When I start to stack this together, to have it compact, generally speaking, now I have only 1 and 2, because I lose this one. Right? In some cases, I can seem to be very smart. I'll do this, and I can gain a little bit. But there are other problems. A problem of interspersion, so there is not such a smart idea at the end. So when I have a rectilinear thing, I have 4. If I want to turn, and I want to do that, either I change completely the typology of the unit, that is a completely different organization inside, or I lose one possibility of light. So it doesn't work. It does not work. Or I have to change completely the unit. But if I say, I say, it's not like that. It is really like that. So I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. So I gain this +2. So I gain that. Why this is very important? Because I can turn the organization in a much more freer way, because I can use something open. And I can even do something that is very important when you do this type of thing. You can do what is called back-to-back. So you can do this.
and so on, or moving. That means these are back to back. The units are back to back. They are tuned there, but because it doesn't really matter. I mean, you can do it because you have an increase 3. You understand? So the L shape is the key. It's generally a very good geometry because it allows a lot of different solutions. And you can see it here. Look at this baby here. Look how many different solutions you may have with this. So in this case it's kind of a row, right? That kind of row houses, right? In this case, they turn in this way, and then you see here, is this back to back, and etc. All this is done because of the L. It's the L typology that allows. So this is the key element. So you can have a hard edge in some cases. You can have a soft permeated edge, etc. It's very, very flexible. Or you can even end up to a kind of inner courtyard scheme, because of course when you do it, okay, here you never do it, but it is clearly that I can also do this. So this becomes an inner courtyard if I want to have higher density, because I create and then you say, okay, but then how I go it? And then there is the project that we just saw before that will show you basically that. Who goes here? Okay? Almost becomes a courtyard. Okay. In order to do that, so how is the, in this case, how is the unit is organized? Well, it's rather simple in this particular case. There is, apparently there is a service kitchen area, probably. And then there is a stair, and then there is a leading, then the stair goes down, probably there is up, probably there is a bathroom here, and bedroom, and then you can go up, for 3 or 4 floors, whatever you want. So it's pretty clear the type of organization that you can have. And in this case, you achieved a density, a fondiaria density, that is the density in the area of construction of around 200-250 inhabitants per hectare. With the new regulation of the city, now they are, I think, up to 1,000, between 400 and 1,000, but on this range, between 400 and... So, okay. Now, another interesting question. So here, with this type of organization, we arrive to 200, between 200 inhabitants per hectare. The developer comes to me and says, no, we cannot do it. It's not feasible. It's not feasible. You have to put 500. You have to double this measure. From 200, you have to arrive around 500. Inhabitants per hectare, the double. How do I do it? Bravissimo, you won the prize. Exactly. That's why I invented the system. Because these, technically speaking, these babies here are row houses in reality. They are not unit package. In fact, you know, they are there, you enter your thing, and you go up, and that's it. Are not the unit package. In order, that's the point, in order to achieve 500, you are in the unit package. And that is the way that allows you to have the increased density. Exactly right. Okay, now let's move. Here it is. Okay, this is the final project that we are going to see. I'd like to see like the others, but doesn't really matter, it's not very important. Okay, it should be upside down. I prefer to see it like this as usual. Okay, so what's going on here? A lot of very interesting things. First of all, looking at the general point of view, what we notice is that the concept of continuity and protection on the outside was kept, right? So this is like a continuous wall, in a way, that protects an inside that is very different. And there are very little access points. One, two, and mainly this one that is the most important one. And that the limited access point is also done, of course, for a reason of security. In this particular situation, that was an issue. Alright. Then what we notice? We notice that basically the idea of cluster and public space, I mean, the idea of collective and semi-collective is still there, but in some way, in a kind of a little bit minor scale, in a way, basically, we may think that some will play a much larger role, but in reality, in the overall organization, there is not such a thing as a real collective space, like this one. It's more a sequence of little alley, and cluster, little alley and cluster. There is not such a thing that, of course, this is also done because you have to increase the density. You must have a lot of these things. You cannot allow that. All right. Then, the other thing that we may notice is, that the idea of the two different typologies that we've seen, not the different typologies, that there is some units that are creating this part, different from this part, is coming here. So we may see that there are some unit typology that create this part and this part, right? And then there is another unit typology that is over there that basically take the center part and create the majority of the thing. These are basically rather large row outs. Could be interesting, but we don't look it at them because there is there are very large row houses. From a typological point of view, they are not interesting for us so much. Are this one, okay? Four floors is a row house, etc. But this is the real invention. This is the real invention, and we have to really look at it very, very carefully because this is basically the way that he was able to solve all this part and basically to achieve the really high density that was necessary here. Okay, now let's see how these things work. First of all, we have to, in order to really understand this unit, we have to look it from a series of points of view. First of all, it is an L shape. This is the first thing that you have to understand. In some way, it is an L shape, if you want to consider from that point of view, because it is like it is done in two bays, one bay, and this, it is like the L shape. Okay? So, even if we never turn, in this particular case, this unit, that is an important, oh my God, but this is incredible.
that goes to the computer.
My God, what technology!
Love it.
We disappear from power. I will never do that. It's a huge technology. Okay, so now let's do. So there are two bays, right? And two bays with an open part that it is, we may interpret from an airship. Now let's look how it works. We know from the previous discussion that the basic principle in order to organize these things in unit packages, etc., must be that they are independent. It is the key. So the idea is the fact that they are incorporated, like the previous one, the distribution system is the key. If each one of these babies can move independently from the other and can be organized as we want, that is very important. So in this case, what we know, look at this plan. Okay, there are, evidently in this case, there are two apartments, right? One is the white and the other one is the gray. The white, you enter directly from here. You enter from the collective space or the semi-collective space. You enter, you have kitchen, dining, living, and then you have one bedroom, alright? And then closet and bathroom over there. Or you take the other door, this door here, you take, you go up, you arrive up, and then here again you have bedroom, kitchen, dining, living, bathroom, you go up another level, you have bathroom and bedroom and bedroom. Okay? It's clear how it is organized? Okay. Then you discover the way to take care of the trash. I don't know, but it will be interesting. Anyway, and now let's see this other one. They are almost identical, but there are very interesting differences. You enter here, bathroom thing, and then same organization, kitchen, dining, living, a bedroom. But there is, here you have the stair, and the stair can go up and take half of the bay of this one, you see? So you have another bedroom on the other level. And on this side, again, you enter, you're right there, kitchen, dining, living, up again,
Alex, does this, can you say that we have a page shape, but vertically, about the...
You can also say that. Yes. But let's not to wake up too much, otherwise you destroy all my game. Okay. Okay, now, it is true. Now, what is the situation here? Is that these guys, how many floors they are? Six. Can be 100? No. Why? Because of course you cannot go, because here, on your private apartment for 300 floors, right? So this goes up to 3, maximum 4 levels. Because otherwise it becomes absurd. As a distribution system, you must have another distribution system. But you surely can go to 4. And probably you can go up to 5 if you consider one underground. So basically with this system, this what I'm saying is very important. Because then you have to do it. This is very important. So with this system, basically, if you consider that this is the ground level, will be quite possible, probably, to have another level below with the system that we described with the sink garden, and probably we can arrive to another level there. So we can basically arrive up maximum to 5. Right? 1, 2, 3 here, we can imagine one. Why am I telling that? Because I've done design in a certain phase of my activity, playing with these things and seeing how much flexibility was possible to have. So I've done many of these things, and I know that there is this range of possibilities. And also, how the things are organized. This is just one way, but there are many ways.
that these things can be organized. Many ways. Once you understand the principle, you can invent a lot of variation within this principle. Because the principles are those, and there is another very important principle in this case that is fundamental in the organization of the unit. So we discussed on the L shape. The L shape, why is so important? There is one aspect that is very important. It goes with the idea that the L shape is also very important. Why? Yes. In this particular case, the reason is that there are two reasons. One is that going up, the mass decrease, very important principle. And the other one is, has to do with territoriality, the issue of territoriality. Which is, the other one is then, yes, is that both have a garden, terra, more or less at the same time. Because in this case, they have it on the ground, you see? And in this case, it's a terrace there, and more or less the same time. And this idea that you have an outside space is crucial for a market reason. Because you want to attract people that are used to have outside space. So, this thing, in this particular case, the L shape is not needed for the reason of stacking and turning, because it was not used in that way, but it was very important for this. So the scale will diminish, you see? The scale will diminish, so at the third level, this part is not built, becomes a terrace. And ideally, with this typology, you can imagine that you go one level up and you build only this part, right? So you move the L shape that way, yes, in the vertical, because basically, if you have the distribution here, then this part, and then this can become a terrace. Okay. So it's an extremely flexible thing. But there is one principle that we didn't discuss so far that goes with grid and with the same level. Grid, you said, conventional grid, and what you said? L-shaped grid, and unitaries, exactly. There is something similar, a very important concept, through which this was built, that is fundamental to make it organized, otherwise it never work. Which is, look at the plan, there is a very strong particularity in that plan. Which is, has to do with that. But there is a conceptual category, yes?
You can enter in two sides.
Yeah, of course, but it's not the way that you can express the
So,
it is a mental category, very important when you do.
You enter everybody from the ground.
Yes. That is because it's a unifier. But there is a consequence. What is one of the basic principles in organizing a unit or a building or anything at a certain level? It's the larger category of the connection. Has to do with the scale and the axis, but there is the mental category. There is a category.
The line.
poi ci rilassi, li non get. It is service and serve. Service and serve. What is service and what is serve in a unit or in a building means is a major category of architecture. What are, where and how they are organized, the service, and what and how it is organized, the serve. Service and serve is a macro concept in architecture. It's a macro concept. Service and serve, and I'm sure you found, because it's impossible that you haven't found. So how the service part and the serve part is organized is a key way to approach, you know? And generally by service we mean the distribution system and often also the bathroom, kitchen, deposit area, generally when we deal with a unit. And we serve, we mean the space that are inhabited. And the first one, the service, are used to provide the possibility to have the service. So if we are looking at this thing, we think, okay, the organization is that the service area is this corridor over here, and the service area is this room. Then you start to look at the same thing. So the idea of the service served is a very important category. And here, it is organized in a very clear way that the service area are basically all compacted over here. You see? So it's like that the house is organized in two bands. One that is the service area, and the other one is the service area. And the service area, that's the distribution system and the bathroom and everything, and the service area is another one. This is very important. Very, very important. Why? Here is why. Because this service the self organization together with the L-shaped organization together with the territoriality is what allows the identity at the end achieved. Why? How are this unit organized? Look like this. They are organized, how you call it, front, back, in this particular case. If you consider the served area, the front, where there is the garden and there, and the service area, this part, right? So they are basically organized, front, back. This was possible, and that was the key to achieve the identity. Because the unit was organized in this way. Because what may happen in the service area? What happens in the service area? That, conceptually, can have no windows. Basically, can have no windows. Because basically, being a service, having closet and bathroom, etc., conceptually, you can create a mechanic, or basically, the view and the thing are not important. So this is service, it is conceptually blank. That means that being this conceptually blank, you can do the basic trick to allow the project to happen, that you can create this distance here very small. And this is key in order to have the identity. And this space here between this and this is almost 1 meter and 20 centimeters. And it is beautiful. I mean, it's beautiful or not, we are going to see it later. But this thing over here, in other parts, is exactly for the reason that I described before, that this, it is conceptually blank, because it's a service area. And this, it is, yes, it is open cell, but because it's an L shape, means that at the first level, the opening are, look at this, are inside the garden. They are not facing that. So they are not facing the little street. But they are like a courtyard type of. They look inside the garden. Because it, in some way it's better to look inside the garden than in some particular case to be in the very narrow street. Particularly if this is a living room. You don't really want, you know, that you walk like that with the thing over there. So they say inside. See? This is everything with technology, no? You see how we were living before without that? You know, that's so useful. But okay, no? So you understand that. So it's all series of super hyper combined systems that are there. That are flexible, identity allows the variation in the plan, etc., etc., etc. They are all interrelated. That allow, at the end, to have this very high quality. Very, very high quality. Now, this you must answer, absolutely. Now that we understand the self-organization, there is another very important reason that this self-organization is very useful. Very, very useful for a criteria that I did not mention so far. Which one is this criteria? Look at the plan. So we discussed several points, right? We discussed the narrow, the thin, the side of the point, and so on one side or the other side. Thank you very much. So there is one thing that I was missing. I want the keyword. Another prize.
Orientation?
Orientation, who said orientation? Bravo, you win always. Stand, orientation, that's it. Because how this is going to be oriented? It's Basandir. The sun is over here, clearly, no? The sun is south over here. So, all these things are open to the south, and are protected to the north. That's why the front-back organization, in this particular case, is also something that will go with orientation. Because, of course, you don't do vice versa. Because if you do vice versa, it will be a disaster. That you have the L-shape open to the north. It is money, and it also, it is money, yes, but it's also perception, you know, because it's very sad to be in a place that you don't never have direct direct light. So, you see how many things are involved. So now that you know the trick, my idea, now you understand, is out of this class, you are 25, there is one person that will learn how to do it. And if there is only one out of you that he knows how to do, we teach this technique to others. And then if you teach this technique to others, out there will be some intelligent way of creating the seed. That is all my idea coming here. And this is why it happened. After 25 years that I made this work, because this work is my last, is my all the life. My afterlife doesn't deal with this. This was my all the life. So 25 years ago when I was doing these things and then I published that, after 25 years I was doing a completely different lecture One young architect told me, came to me and said, I read a book. And I made this project. And this project was because of that. And I convinced the developer to do this. And never did anybody like that just because they didn't know how to do it. You understand?
So if only one is able to do it, I will be successful. Now, this is rather beautiful also, from an architectural point. So, now let's navigate. Now, let's do this. Okay. In 10 minutes we finish this part, that is the central part, and we take a break, okay? But now we just relax. There is not much to understand on top of that, but we understand architectural choices, okay? So the first choice, we try to be inside. And we understand that the inside world is very pleasant, very beautiful, and it is based on an idea that goes very, very well with low-rise identity, that is the idea of contraction and expansion of spaces. It's the idea that the space becomes larger and you perceive that larger, not because it is larger, but actually because you are coming from a smaller space. And that transitional system between contracted and expansion spaces is what makes certain urban conditions extremely interesting. Who has ever been to Venice in this class? One person, two persons, some person has been. So they know exactly that, because I'm sure that they know, the sensation to go from a small alley to a larger space, you know, to be in a very compacted situation to that. And that the space maybe is not that large, but you perceive that as an event. So that idea of contraction and expansion of space is very much important, and in what created the articulation of inside. So now we can see some views. So this is one of the patio of the L shape. Let me see how it is organized.
Social space.
Yeah?
Oh,
sorry?
It created inside. It created a social space.
Yes. Okay. This, in this particular case, it is the outside space of that family. So this is a private space, belongs to them. This is not it's not for the Cugini. No. It's only for this family. It is an outside space that you go directly from the unit. You know, it's this space. I capito? It's this place. We are looking at this place. This one. It's that place. Outside there is the compass. Here we can see some of the of how they may look, some of these spaces here.
Why like, do you use the wall in the down floor? Go on picture
back.
Yeah?
I didn't expect.
Oh, but I mean maybe the fence.
it is a very logical thing, but it goes with a lot of ideas. The idea is they do that because they want to keep their privacy. It's a choice, a design choice. You can have no. In this particular case, yes, it costs more, but they want yes, but they want they think for the market reasons. This is more important in this particular case to create a strong edge between the private and outside. It's a design decision and a market decision in this particular case. So that's why there is, this is basically you are acting actually as a courtyard, although technically it's not a courtyard. It is very interesting. The other reason that I will answer you, to answer you, is because you understand that this living probably will face only in this direction. So in some way, this is really has to act as an outside living, very private in a way. So there is a serious, but again, it's a market reason. You know, you may decide to do it differently, but these are the reasons why they did it that. And of course, it's a right observation. Looking like that, it seems a little bit debatable why you make a wall or not. But this is why, to create this idea of a really private thing. So these are, you'll notice that in the inside space, there is, you really feel that idea of the grid that we saw before. Like basically everything it is built, including the green, is part of a design. And of course you try to create a good ratio between what is paved and what is not paved. Because in terms of maintenance. This is a key picture, in fact it's several times in the book, and other things, because it really is like it is. In some way you are in some spaces that are really compact and really reminds you of urban situations similar to Venice or places like that, and then you expand again, like in that. So the whole thing is, gives you a lot of that, of this situation, that you change very much the scale in the inside. Okay. Okay, now we look it from the outside. I haven't put it any picture here for some reason, but we can do it, that will show you that will show basically how the blank facade it is done. Let me see if there is any. Because of course it's less good looking. Well, anyway, it's really almost blank with just few, the service part, with very, very few little windows. Now, let's finish to understand the outside. And to understand again how he changes his architecture very much going in the different situation of the block. Because as I said to you before, okay, let me see, okay, start from here, okay. So, the first problem that this architecture has from the tower point of view is that he wanted to achieve some level of monumental scale. He wanted to achieve some level of monumental scale because the building was seen from the distance. So, the design of that idea, how the building is able to create a presence at a larger scale and from a distance, was a kind of obsession to him to arrive to this. And he described me that at the office, they stayed for months in finding the best possible solution, and everybody was crazy, because of course they were designing this and this and this, and he was never happy, because he needed really to conceive that design, that concept. And he told me that he found the solution making by accident at the office. This was CERNT. There was a model of the project, of this project, and for some accident it was CERNT. So the turning part gave him the idea that he would articulate it differently, that we have a very compact top and an articulation down. So the idea is, if we go again with the three-part system, basically this is the top is very important, and then within the top you articulate the form inside. But it's the top that stops the building and creates the kind of articulating form system. So in some way is coming from and he exactly told me that it happened by turning by accident this model. So it's the opposite formal organization. So when we go back there, okay, we look at it from the distance that this strange, very unusual band is creates the kind of monumentality of this, and the monumentality is important because it's the way that creates this dialogue. Otherwise, we'd be too. And on the other side, when you are okay here, now here comes the how it happens is another question. So this is rather strange, right? How he was able to have the developer paying for this extra stuff? Understand the question? You remember that in the previous case of the tower, he was cut it because he said, no, look, this is too much, this is enough. You know? But in this case, how technically, how is it possible that he was able to do this? Maybe he gave a function of a roof. Exactly. Which is the common android, so we will relax. Come, Jorge, show us. Show how he did that. Yes. Okay, show us. It's simple, once you know.
So maybe I can make a section just to show it.
The tool is the section.
For example, maybe this part.
Let's locate ourselves. Where is the street? The outside street for you. So we understand from that point.
Yes. Yeah, so we are.
See, what is the street? Not from front, because how you did it from front. Okay. What is the street? This street. Where is the street in this section?
It's
this
here.
Point. Okay. Draw a street. Draw a street. Okay. Good. So this is it. So one. Okay. Two. Do a couple floors. Bravo. Okay, but okay, let's suppose there are three floors, but that's not, it's not a major issue. No, wait. Okay, this is the inside. Okay, now, another solution. No, I don't want to have that. There is no such in Philadelphia. I am the developer. You are the architect. Okay, and this is the game. I said no. In Philadelphia, we don't have this typology of the terrace. We cannot do that wall. That tall is too tall. Everything is a waste of things. So. Maybe it's like that, and it's what it is. The solution is this one, something like that, in this family. Basically, the roof of this, one, two, and three, instead of being like this, or instead like you've seen before, in your case, doing like this, it is done more simply like this. And why it is like that and it's not like that? Because you want to go as high as possible. That's why. You want to gain this damned piece of wall because you want to do your architecture. And you've been working on that thing for 2 months.
Because you have to find a solution that is technically, economically feasible within this given condition. Because the problem is not you may do the roof in 300 ways. The problem is that one, and the obsession is the other one. You understand? The technical solution is that, but anyway, you were in the right direction. At least you understood in which way was the way to solve it. But probably, even in your case, you would have been working for a week, even when you start to understand that what you look the way to solve it. So this is technically a roof. Technically, yeah. It's not technically a room, it's technically a roof.
Very interesting, no? Rather interesting, I think. So then you achieve this architecture that has this compact thing and this rather articulated and asymmetrical base that is rather interesting when you walk along the street. Because this is the interesting thing when you talk of monumentality. Okay, this tower are rather interesting from the distance, but when you go close by, you are basically overwhelmed by them. They are no interest, because they are really everything that is done from a larger scale, to be seen from distance. When you are close by, they lost any interest. While in this case, what the interesting thing is that, I think, in my opinion, that when you walk along here, you are attracted by all these things that are happening, but at the same time, the architecture is able to speak at a larger level. We have almost done, huh? Again, when you since this is a block, we've seen the other two sides. When we are on this street, this looks very similar to the previous one. In some way, it's again a very almost flat surface for the same reason that the other one. So it's not monumental at all in this case. Actually, it's almost anonymous. This facade here. It's almost anonymous. Here it is. You see, it's very similar to the other building. It doesn't want to do anything particular. Because it is done to have the street winning and the ending point winning, not the architecture. And when instead you are in the other street, he creates again a rhythm that is a very interesting little rhythm of residential neighborhood. You see how nice it is. It's not monumental, like in the other case. It's not anonymous, like in the other case. It's kind of rhythmic in this way, and I think it is very beautiful. Okay. One word of construction, and that's it. Okay, and then we stop. In this particular case, okay, this was built in this way. There is an underground garage, and the underground garage is accessed by this part. So the underground garage and, let's say, this artificial ground, we may call it an artificial ground, is that one that, and is rather thick, of course, is that one that creates the structure of the units to go high. So there are different structures. There is the structure that goes from the underground system to this level, the so-called artificial ground that you see that is already, you know, taking the shape of the units, right? And then from here on, that you can start to see here, it is traditional American construction, so that means that they are almost surely, I don't remember, but I think it is wood again, also here, I think. Wood and veneer of the wall, if I remember well, it's built like that. But there is, so this is how it is done from a construction point of view. Okay, questions? We have other two sections this afternoon, eh? Yes.
Um,
I don't know exactly how this, I think that this has, is basically collecting as it is a terrace, basically. Basically. The whole thing will have point of, in which the water is collected and bringing out in the sewage, basically. This is going, is the way that it's going to be. It's basically as it is in a terrace. Right? You find place, and then the places go down to the sewage. Okay. Other curiosity or questions? Yes. 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 Okay. Now. Okay. The service and serve is a macro concept. It's not so, it's a concept that can be applied from a minimum level to a high level. So it's a macro concept. So everything in a certain way can be considered, can be seen as a service served. Generally speaking, you tend to say, right, that the service space are where the main activities are taking place, and the service space are the activities that are supporting the main activity to happen in terms of activity. Now, Let's in order to understand that, so it's not something absolute, it's something relative. But at the same time, it's a very important concept. Many architects did a lot of work on that, just on that, just thinking in time. Okay, now, let's do this very simple example, okay? Let's take a room. Let's imagine that the room has window over here, okay? And the entrance over there, okay? What are the main activities of the room? The main activities of the room is it is, let's say, a young person, bedroom, it is. To sleep, to study, to play, to stay, right? So this activity, play, stay, and sleep, let's say, you may consider the served activity or main activity, right? And in order to do that, to achieve that, okay, you may need at least, let's say, some closet area, right? Some depository, something like that. Because otherwise, the thing will not work. In order to do that, you must have that. So, this activity, you may call the service activity. Okay, in the case of the room. So, let's go back in the room. Normally speaking, if the door is here, and if the window is here, where you tend to put the service activity? Back here, normally the typical configuration is something like that, right? That you tend to have the service activity out of the window in order to keep as clean as possible. So this is the typical in the unit, in a simple room organization, service and serve are organized like that. If you look a typology, for example, of many apartments that are served by a deck, stair and deck, right? And you look at this as a whole, you may say that the apartments are the served, and the distribution stairs are the service activity, right?
right? You can go on and on. Because this same thing can apply on a larger level, even on a city level, or a region level. You may start thinking in this way. This is the typical functionalist attitude. To divide them. Now, things are tend to be much more interesting, much more complicated. Because we start to think, but why I have to do activities? I mean, I want to do activities also in the service area. And actually, many interesting things are happening just thinking of that direction. But that's just to make a confusion, right? For in different your concepts.
So the service is the zone where you get the facilities of this service, the service area.
The service area is what I just dictated as a definition. I said, write it down, you know, he wrote it, because I said, just write it when I speak. So I already defined it. How did I define it? Really? Where is the city? Really? I said.
Where the main activities
are. So this area is where the main activities are taking place.
Yes.
And the third is the supporting is the area of supporting the main activities.
Okay. You already did it. Okay? Enough? Yeah. Okay.
Good. Okay.
And it's a very important architectural principle, of course. A lot of possibilities. So we take a break. At 4:30 we see a architect again and we define two sections. And okay.
Give two sessions to finish.